Wishing you a very good morning. This is the live reading of the Arizona Daily Star for February 19th, 2025. Mark DeGroft with you this morning. Weather today, high 78, low will be 40, plenty of sunshine. Highs in the upper 70s and lows in the mid 40s. Today, plenty of sunshine. Tonight, clear sky. Tomorrow, some clouds in the morning, sunny skies in the afternoon. Winds out of the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Humidity currently 23%. Winds are out of the west at 7 miles per hour. Sunrise today was at 7:01:34. Tonight, 6:14:26. And it's currently 49 degrees in Green Valley. Let's go ahead and get started with the news from the Green Valley News this morning. Honking, cheers, thumbs up, chanting, a few middle fingers, and even a banjo performance marked Monday's noon political rally at Esperanza and La Cañada in Green Valley that attracted about 200 people. About 200 people showed up at La Cañada Drive and Esperanza Boulevard on President's Day, February 17th, concerned about executive orders and other decisions made in the first 4 weeks of the Trump administration. The Green Valley Democrats inspired an anti-Trump rally for those frustrated with the first month of Trump's administration. It was among dozens of rallies held across the country in the last few weeks in response to Trump's executive orders that were targeting everything from immigration to federal agencies. It appeared there was little to no opposition among attendees, although plenty of people driving by showed their support and derision through honking and yelling. Here's a couple of comments from attendees. Cheryl Clark said, "We're here to take back our country." Elaine Mills said, "We're here to dethrone Trump." Roxana Lopez says, quote, "I am representing Save Our Schools. Right now, our whole state is under a humongous deficit because of these vouchers, empowerment scholarship account. We need everybody possible that has a child to join Save Our Schools." And Ingeborg McDonald said, quote, "I was born in Germany. I'm 93 now. I came to this country when I was barely 20. I remember the war years. I always remember being told by my parents, you can't say this on the street, you can't say that because you know what will happen to us. And here we are. Next thing they know, they'll stop the press." Okay, during its regular board meeting on February 12th, the Sahuarita Unified School District Governing Board unanimously approved two field lighting projects for the high schools and two classroom additions at Early Childhood Center Preschool. SUSD Superintendent Manny Valenzuela told the board new energy-efficient lights will go up at both high schools' football stadiums. In addition, Sahuarita High School's safe softball and baseball fields will get upgraded lights, as well as Walnut Grove's baseball and softball fields. The lights will have the ability to change colors and flash in patterns. And all combined, the two ECC classrooms will add just under 1,900 square feet, according to Valenzuela. All told, the projects will cost about $5 million and will be paid for with 2023 voter-approved bond money. Well, are you looking for love online? Be on guard. That suitor tugging at your heartstrings over text messages and emails may be interested only in your purse strings, you think? In Arizona, losses from online romance scams totaled more than $47 million in 2022 and 23, according to data from the FBI Internet Crime Complaint Center. The Investor Loss Center ranked Arizona fifth for losses based on the FBI figures, behind only California, Florida, Texas, and New York. The issue's been on Arizona Attorney General Chris May's radar for a while. "This is an all-hands-on-deck moment," she said earlier in February after a town hall on the subject. "These scammers are everywhere. These crimes are on the rise, and the amounts of money that they are stealing from us, especially our elderly, are astronomical." In April of 2024, the AG's office brought a case against Donald Franklin Hugel, a California man who worked with Nigerian scammers to defraud two older Arizona residents out of $457,000. Hugo was convicted of fraudulent schemes, illegally conducting an enterprise, money laundering, and theft. He was sentenced to 4 years in prison by a Pima County Superior Court judge. At a press release after Hugo's sentencing, Mays continued cautioning scammers that they would be discovered and prosecuted by the state attorney general's office. And while people over 60 are among the frequent targets of online fraud, the FBI report showed that people as young as 30 are also vulnerable. Don Alexander, who's an analyst with AARP Arizona, said the biggest red flag when starting a romantic relationship online is communicating with someone who professes instant love. Somebody is going to engage somebody and they're going to move very fast, Alexander said. They're going to want to get to the original platform that you got on and they're going to move to either text messages or email. They're going to be instantly in love with you. They are never really going to be available, but they will connect you whenever it's convenient for them. Another tip-off is that the scammer won't post photos of themselves, and some immediately ask for money. Some victims can be strung along for quite a long time, driving them to bankruptcy, she added. And unfortunately, it was such a sensitive topic, Alexander said. She believes that the amount of money lost to romance scams is underreported. People are embarrassed, she said. People don't want to express the fact that they've been taken advantage of. So the numbers that we have are high, but unfortunately, they're not true numbers because people aren't reporting it. Sergeant Lance Hunziker of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department said romance scams have been skyrocketing in recent years. Part of the reason they're so high in Arizona is the number of retirees. When asked why older adults are affected disproportionately, Hunziker said, it's not because these victims are dumb or old, but because they're at a stage in their life where they have money. Con artists are increasingly using artificial intelligence and new technology to snare victims. We're coming up on Valentine's Day, and this is a time when people are looking for love. We all love love, but unfortunately, sometimes that leaves us vulnerable to attempts to take advantage of us, Mays said. And these scammers know that they are increasingly using AI and technology to try to scam us out of the money, using our desire for romance as a hook just for bait. Jason Mink, who's an assistant professor at Arizona State University's School of Computing and Augmented Intelligence, studies emerging technologies and how they affect security and privacy. The biggest concern is the ability to duplicate people's identity in ways that weren't possible before, they said. You can now create fake images of a very consistent persona in several places, areas, and make something very convincing. You can impersonate specific people. You can do this in all different types of mediums in terms of text, image, video, and audio. And as the capabilities and frequencies of scams increase, AARP Arizona has taken an active role in educating all age groups to be vigilant about suspicious activity and correspondence. If you believe that you or someone you know has been a victim of fraud, call AARP's Fraud Watch Network helpline at 877-908-3360. It's free and available to anybody, regardless of age or AARP membership. The Arizona Attorney General Office also has a task force against senior abuse, where fraud can be reported via telephone or email. Their number is toll-free, and the number is 844-894-4735. Okay, the AARP's Fraud Network phone number is 877-908-3360. The Arizona Attorney General Office number is 844-894-4735. 20 minutes in front of 10 o'clock here at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for joining me this morning. In 2001, Lutheran Church of the Risen Savior here in Green Valley began setting aside money for a future work in Suarita. These efforts led to the formation in 2006 of Suarita Lutheran Fellowship, with worship services, community outreach, and vacation Bible schools. They met at Triple Play Restaurant. The church eventually held services in the Suarita High School cafeteria, And then in 2011, they brought land and triple-wide manufactured building on Sorrento Road. And this week, after 16 months of construction, Cross Point Lutheran Church, as it has been called since 2016, took its next step, more than doubling its space to 5,000 square feet in a new building that cost about $1.7 million. It worked nicely for us as we were starting and growing, but it got to the point where we didn't have any more space, said Dean Habrock of the manufactured building that at one time served Sorrento Christian Academy. Habrock is president of the congregation and a member of a committee overseeing the new construction. The building is a testament to faith and a gracious God, he said. Pastor Jason Hong, who arrived at the church in 2023, leads the congregation of about 50 people. It is part of the Missouri Synod, a conservative branch of the Lutheran Church. Hong agreed that the original building worked for a time but became inadequate. The triple wide was already tight for our group to do Bible studies and Sunday school, Hong said. There wasn't much space. He said he's not a believer in the adage, if you build it, they will come. The decision to build a larger church was for practical purposes and for the church's mission to reach the community, he said. Our hope is that now we have to do a sanctuary and a worship center and a ministry building that can better meet the needs of the congregation. Now we can go out and try to share the message of Jesus Christ with others and hope that this is a place where people find hope and truth, Hong said. Several fire chiefs from around Pima County told the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday the changes from the state legislature going back to the mid-1990s have left Arizona fire districts struggling to keep pace with rising costs. Chief Chuck Wonder, whose Santa Rita Fire District covers Sorrento and Green Valley, told supervisors that there are 18 fire districts in Pima County that vary in size, some running upwards of 20,000 calls per year to similar and smaller ones, just a few hundred calls. The presentation was placed on the board's Tuesday agenda by Supervisor Mike Hines, whose district covers most of Sorrento. It was a continuation of a topic he placed on the February 4th agenda to state lobby lawmakers to push legislation allowing county boards to put a 1/10 sales tax before its residents that would support fire districts with additional funding. Hines' February 4th motion received unanimous support from the board. Wunder said Hines wanted the presentation to include specifics concerning the challenges districts, which rely on property tax rates capped by state regulations, face due to revenue constraints. I think what I want to highlight from the funding perspective, though, is the disparity that occurs between the districts, Wunder said, noting its effect on staffing. Because our larger districts have the ability to perhaps compensate more and offer more benefits, and therefore they're more attractive, he said. He added that the larger districts also often sit in urban and suburban areas with larger pools of potential applicants. He said other smaller districts like Aravaca have higher turnover and less consistent staffing, and their people are leaving to go get a better job. Good on them for that kind of thing, but it makes it a challenge to provide a consistent level of servicing, he said. He said the lack of adequate and consistent staffing also affects smaller districts facing a wildfire, adding all the districts have wildfire responses, including suburban areas where wilderness meets developed communities. It's not just staffing that funding shortfalls impact. Wunder pointed to aging equipment, maintenance, and having to choose from basics like fuel or sending staff to advanced training classes for certifications as strains on district budgets. Avra Valley Fire District Chief Brian Delf said the Three Points Fire District had to abandon a fire station due to deficiencies they couldn't afford to repair. So now we're covering that entire district out of two stations, he said, of the 895 square feet or square miles under his supervision. Dell said staffing makes up 90% of his budget, despite starting them at $2.40 above minimum state wage, $14.70 per hour. People at McDonald's make more per hour than my firefighters do. So that gives you an idea where we're at, he said. He told supervisors that he didn't know how a smaller district could afford to buy a new station after considering state-mandated restrictions that leave them saving 15 to 18 years to afford a new building. He said SRFT was fortunate to have a successful bond, but he added that smaller districts have less capacity for a bond, and a simple station can cost right around $6 million. Wonder said standard fire trucks range from $700,000 to $900,000. Ladder trucks could come in well over $1 million, making them prohibitive for many districts. He said the cost for replacements leave districts with trucks operating well past their useful lifespan. Golden Ranch Fire District Fire Ryan Ward said the number one killer for firefighters is cancer. 75% of line of duty deaths have cancer-related causes. So if you're talking about turnouts, you go to a fire and your turnouts are covered in carcinogens, he said. We do a lot of stuff to post-decon, which is a great step, but we also need to wash those turnouts. He said there might not be enough time to properly wash them with all the other calls, saying that districts should have backup sets for firefighters, which he said is a big deal at $5,000 per set. Wonder said an unanticipated result of funding shortfalls hits the public service expectation. He said districts find themselves stretched further with call volume and coverage area that their staffing and funding accommodates, pointing to Arivaca's small district responding to calls along the U.S. and Mexico border. Okay. It's 9:47. Well, the town of Suarita is pulling the plug on the spooktacular after the Halloween event began outgrowing its $40,000 budget. The funds will shift to the three biggest events, those being Winterfest, Stars and Stripes, and Fiesta Suarita, according to a town spokesperson. The town will also allocate the remaining funds toward a new fall event on a smaller scale. The town has a survey open to gather fall event ideas. The town council made the decision to nix Spooktacular during a budget retreat held February 5th and 6th. The town isn't looking to replace the discontinued Spooktacular with a new version of the event, but maybe something different to fit available funds. The annual event drew thousands of people, leading to long lines and traffic backups. Parks and Rec Director Devin Stalder told the council on February 6th that the department is always looking to improve its signature events, and noted the strain of organizing the Spooktacular and Winterfest events that occur just a little more than a month apart. Stalder proposed replacing Spooktacular with a trunk-or-treat special event, with community organizations taking the reins on planning and logistics. Here's a third part in a three-part series. People often believe that bright outdoor lights are key to safety, but is more light really better? While it's true that well-placed lighting can enhance security, the design and placement of lights are far more important than simply flooding an area with brightness. In fact, poorly designed lighting can backfire. Over-illumination, for example, can cause glare and deep shadows, obscuring visibility, making it harder to identify people or activities. Shielding the light enhances visibility by targeting the light on where it's needed most, like pathways and access points. To truly understand the relationship between outdoor lighting and public safety, let's dive into CPTED, which is Crime Prevention Through Environmental Design. This forward-thinking approach focuses on designing spaces that naturally deter crime while fostering safety and harmony with the environment. Outdoor lighting plays a vital role in CPTED, but it needs to be done right, and here's how principles guide smart, effective lighting design. Number one, enhance natural surveillance. Lighting should make areas like walkways, entrances, and parking lots visible and inviting. The goal? Ensure people can see and be seen. Eliminating dark corners and shadows leaves no room for hiding spots. Secondly, avoid over-illumination. More light isn't always better. Overly bright lighting can cause glare, making it difficult to see clearly. It can also create harsh contrast, leaving some areas darker than before. Plus, too much light contributes to light pollution, which disrupts wildlife, obscures the night sky, and even affects sleep. Third, use targeted lighting. Your lights should focus on where they're needed most, like pathways and access points, without spilling onto unnecessary areas. Full cutoff fixtures and shielding lights are your best allies, ensuring illumination is effective without waste. And there's maintaining lighting systems. A burned out bulb or a dirty fixture can leave safety in the dark. Regular maintenance keeps lighting functional, effective, and efficient. And sixth, you can support community environmental goals. Energy efficient, dark sky compliant designs protect Green Valley's cherished starlit skies while saving energy at the same time. Thoughtful lighting not only helps our astronomer friends at Whipple Observatory, but helps keep Green Valley's unique charm intact. Green Valley safety doesn't depend on brighter lights, but on smarter choices. Targeted, well-designed, and properly maintained lighting, combined with community involvement and CPTED principles, is far more effective in reducing crime than flooding an area with excessive light. Let's turn off the glare and shine a light on real safety and security. And that was by John Graham. He's a dark sky advocate, available for outdoor lighting consultations, and he's willing to speak to HOAs and community groups. You can reach him at J.D. Graham, that's J.D., G-R-A-H-A-M-E, at gmail.com. J-D, G-R-A-H-A-M-E, at gmail.com. 9:52 and change here. After a series of setbacks, Finley's Restaurant in Continental Shopping Plaza is planning to officially open on March 1st. If you want a taste of what's to come before that, you can drop by to order off a contemporary takeout menu of if one of the managing partners, Kimberly Findlay or Bill Capon and Chef Javier Alvarez, are available. The restaurant is opening in the spot that Maria's occupied for 4 years before closing in November of 2023. In the past, it has been home to restaurants such as Carne y Vino, Max Pub and Patio, Trevetti's, and the Mesquite Grill, all of which went out of business. Finley has years of experience in the restaurant business, including working at Maria's. I've never been an owner before, but I've been working in this town in management for the past 10 years, she said. Abrego Grill and then Coyote Grill, and then my friend, owner of Maria's, had asked me to come over and run Maria's for her while she had some health issues. Then I had to close it down, and that's when I decided, well, maybe I should just continue and open it up. Those behind Finley's believe their approach will be a hit with Green Valley. It's designed to be a casual, down-to-earth eatery, inspired by international taste with an emphasis on quality food over a fine and exclusive setting. We want to create a vibrant place you can come in, no tablecloths, no cloth napkins, but definitely prime food, said Capon, who is the managing partner and CEO of Southern Arizona Building Solutions, a remodel, repair, and renovation company. There's a lot of people who want that fine dining, but our demographics here and our research indicated they don't dine out enough to support that endeavor. So instead of pouring money into the aesthetic, we're going to put our money into upping our food and upping our staff quality. And that means putting vendors on notice that we want only top-tier products and trying to stay away from frozen protein. Capon also has a lot of confidence in Alvarez and is giving him room to create. He's been hindered by other owners in the past because they had specific things that they wanted, he said. Here, for me, I want this creative juices to flow. It's very cool to watch him back there. I'm amazed every time I see him. I have very simple tastes, but he's opened up my palate, that's for sure. And Alvarez says it's a matter of pride and craftsmanship. When I started as a cook, from the first time I stepped on the line, I knew that this was for me, he said. The smell of foods, what you can create. I was very inspired by French cuisine, similar to Mexican in the sense it depends on doing the prep right, the sauces, and when you combine all those flavors. That's my goal when I present something, I create something. I know everyone is going to love it. It's about creating something unique, but consistent. Alvarez said he'll be pulling from multiple traditions, French, Italian, Mexican, and American. Running a restaurant isn't for the faint of heart. With numerous setbacks before a hard opening, Capon and Finley said they're determined to move forward. We had electrical issues, then we had gas issues and a gas leak, Finley said. The sewer line busted, and we just had that fixed last week, so that puts us back. But wait, there's more. Plumbing, flooding, Capon said. Then we had the wrong dish machines delivered. The wrong doors were delivered. We had to rewire the electrical for the wrong delivered machine. We're just moving forward. It's been very hard and frustrating for all of us. As far as delays, without pointing any blame, it was just a lot of things that happened. They don't have a liquor license yet, but they're working on it, Capon said. As for dogs, there's a space for them in the outdoor patio setting, assuming that they're well-behaved. This is a local place, and there's dogs that are agreeable out there, and it's not an egregious, flurry, fur-bearing thing, and most people are usually respectful of that, that there would be a dog corner, Capon said. Finley said she's excited to kick off the next chapter in her career. I'm excited to get up and running and serve Green Valley, Finley said. I'm hoping it will be a nice little neighborhood pub. Finley's is currently hiring for all positions. If anybody is interested, you can stop by and pick up an application. And that will do it for the reading of the Green Valley News for this morning. My name is Mark DeGroff, reminding you that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org. Left-click on Broadcast Info and Audio, and then under Programming Links, left-click on Demand Podcast. You can now listen to Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot as well, your phone, or other smart home devices. And I thank you for listening. I'm going to put this program on demand now. And I thank you for listening. Wishing you a very, very pleasant day and a great rest of your week. See you next Wednesday.